agreeing on a local basis, but they say this just isn't going to, we really can't say anything because this has to be decided by LCDC. Second, a lot of record for non-critical areas, and we'd emphasize the non-critical areas is of great importance. The expectations that the planners are afraid of arises out of a lot of frustration, in essence, promises broken in people's minds. And to, if something can be done to identify the places in the what are marginal lands and remove them from the battlegrounds, I think we can remove a lot of the frustration and have greater credibility for state land use planning. The lands that we are specifically interested in are not EFU zoned. They are too marginal to make EFU. If they're going to make a resource category, it would have to be something related to timber, but they would probably be thrown into a miscellaneous category because it's not being high enough quality to make either one. And yet the Act is plainly written to the EFU, but would leave us presumably in a worse place than somebody who was in an EFU zone but had marginal lands there. And if there would be some way to include lands that were not in EFU zone but otherwise met the criteria, then it would seem to me that it, if you're willing to do this to the threat of a prime agricultural area, you should be, it should be less controversial done outside. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's all? Do you have any questions?
Are they Columbia County?
Columbia County.
We are not representing Columbia County. We're simply landowners.
You're just
there.
From Columbia County.
Just people herding in Columbia County. Thank you.
So you would put different, other than the, you would make it, you would define marginal lands, and it could be any kind of land other, as well as EFU, what's in currently in the EFU zone.
Yes, I would think so. I share the concerns of the planners that where end of, I believe it was Mr. Bradbury, and I'm sure many of you, that we be very careful about undercutting the strength of the commitment to agricultural areas. Yet I have the feeling that there are many, many people in the state that are involved in areas that are nowhere close to prime agricultural areas, that are not critical resource, and yet are caught in a bureaucratic process where nothing can be resolved. In our case, approved platted lands, and very frustrated with the planning process.
Thank you for coming down today.
Okay.
Chris, do you have any comments?
No, I was here just in case.
Okay, thank you.
We
have three people from Washington County. Just a minute, where is my list? Wes Meilenbeck, Rick Daniels, and Alan Bachman, is that correct?
Correct.
Madam Chair, member of the committee, I'm Wes Meilenbeck, Chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, Washington County. And with me is Rick Daniels, our Planning Director, and Alan Bachman, the County Council Office. As you know, there's a new board in Washington County, and there's a new attitude in toward in direction of our planning. Our primary objective in Washington County is to get our plans acknowledged as quickly as possible and for the least cost possible. We need to get on to other things in Washington County and other than planning and battling the LCDC all the time. We believe the legislature is on the right track with this bill. We need strict preservation of prime farmlands through exclusive farm use zoning, and we need a recognition of marginal farmlands, which are predominantly parceled hillside areas in part-time farming. Washington County recognized this identical concept and developed its plan with a similar zoning district. We now seek amendments which marry the new state law with the local plan and our local plan and zoning. Our amendments seek to make the new law workable for our use in dealing with our local plans. and the most in the most expedition and efficient manner. Continuing expenditures in a guessing game with LCDC is wasteful for both state and for our own local resources. And fortunately, we have a serial levy that's passed that will take care of us in a lean way for at least this coming year. But when it gets to a choice of planners versus policemen, you know what we're going to choose. And we're down even with the serial levy to that choice. Agriculture is a valuable resource in Washington County. Our gate receipts for 1982 were $85 million. This contributed overall to the local economy of better than $250 million. Our county is committed to get our plans in compliance with LCDC no matter what. We feel that the particular bill that you're considering now will help us. It'll provide some clarity that we need. It'll help ease administration, contrary to what's said earlier, and it'll help us get what we need to do done prior to January. With that, I'm going to turn it over to my cohorts.
At this point, I'm Alan Botman. You may remember I was here last week. Fortunately, chairperson, I believe.
I wasn't here.
I submitted a list of amendments that you should have before you.
Is that dated Legislative Council -9?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to go through these briefly.
Okay.
As our chairman of our Board of Commissioners, Mr. Meilenbeck, just indicated to you, Washington County is really here to aid the legislature in the process of coming out with this bill and promoting the concepts. Our amendments are designed to ease the administration of this bill and to clean up what we believe are just some loose ends.
Okay.
First of all, on the first page of the bill, it excludes from the definition of agricultural land those lands and areas designated for urban development and comprehensive plans acknowledged by LCDC. That's fine for those areas where the urban growth boundaries were adopted as a part of a comprehensive plan. However, in the Portland metropolitan area, the urban growth boundary was not acknowledged by LCDC as a part of a comprehensive plan. It was acknowledged as a separate acknowledgement request. And therefore, we have recommended language to help take into account the particular circumstance of the regional urban growth boundary and yet still accommodate the other jurisdictions that had their urban growth boundaries where they get acknowledged through a comprehensive planning process. And that language is the first item on our proposed amendments. Secondly, our amendments relate to the definition of marginal lands, which is on page 2, the B. Engross version. And the First Amendment request there is relates to really a set of circumstances that I'm not sure if you're aware of. Senate Bill 10 required counties to adopt comprehensive plans. And this was obviously before Senate Bill 100 and LCDC. Well, Washington County couldn't wait around for Senate Bill 100 and LCDC and adopted a comprehensive plan for the entire county. In that plan in 1973, they identified an area that was mainly in part-time farming and forestry practices and in a parcelized area on hills, and considered that a marginal land area, and placed the valley floor land outside of the developed urban areas in either a forest zone or an exclusive farm zone. At that time in 73, it was an AF 5, 5, and 10 acre zones on those marginal lands area. 1982, we updated that to what we call an AF 20, 20 acre zone in the marginal lands idea, the lands area, a concept very similar to what you have in this bill. However, I believe that since we did do planning before the goals, that somehow that should be taken into account and in concept. So we propose language And our second point on our amendment list that would take that into account, the previous planning efforts, and that the basic import being that it still has to be predominantly in a part-time farming or forestry area to qualify. And I'll let that language there really speak for itself. Thirdly, and I think this is more important to not only us but all the jurisdictions in the state, is our amendment to the definition of the gross income requirement of the $20,000. What we want to do is avoid disputes. We do, as Mr. Meilenbeck indicated to you, we are having tough economic times. We can't afford to have every decision be subjective and therefore subject to argument by every party and be appealed, impact myself and the attorney's office. We need an objective standard. And the next two points, I believe, relate to that in our amendments. As I indicated last week, every year the county extension office and the counties is required to put out a report that indicates the amount of gross income per types of crops and agricultural activities in the area, including even the valley floor in our particular case. We believe that it would be reasonable for a local government to use these statistics as a basis for determining what areas qualify for marginal land and what areas do not. This would avoid having to ask people how much money they made. It would avoid somebody who wants to be in marginal land having to ask all his neighbors how much they made in order to get the 100-acre area. It will avoid the board being put in the position of maybe having to call somebody a liar who's coming to speak before them and saying, I have 2 acres of filberts or 5 acres of filberts and I made $40,000 last year, because he doesn't want his neighbor to develop. Conversely, somebody might come forward and say, I have 50 acres of filberts and I only made $2,000 last year. Well, these statistics will show that both people should be wrong. They're doing something wrong. And I believe that that would be a reasonable basis. Now, you might ask, well, there's still probably a little bit of discretion in there in using this data to the land. And to avoid that, the problems that can develop with conflicting evidence and whatnot, my next point is that language should be added that states, when reviewing a decision approving or denying a marginal lands designation, the commission, LCDC, shall be bound by any finding of fact for which there is substantial evidence in the record of the local government proceedings resulting in approval or denial of the designation. What we're getting at is if the local government makes a determination as to what is marginal land or what isn't, if there's evidence in the record to support the local government's decision, it should be upheld. Now, it just so happens that this language is virtually the identical language that's in the governor's proposal for the exceptions process that's been submitted to the Senate for 2295. And certainly if that standard is good enough for reviewing an exception to the goals, it ought to be good enough for classifying an area marginal land or refusing to classify that area as marginal land. That will help resolve many disputes, we believe. Next is, on the same page, we have some concerns about the January 1st, 1978 cutoff date. Washington County exercises its responsibilities in accordance with state law. And if we create a lot after 1978, we create it in accordance with state law, as well as our local laws. And we don't see why somebody who's created a lot, let's say in 1982, should be penalized under this provision. Presumably, it had to meet more strict criteria than the lot created in 1950 or 1960, whatever. So we would like to see that actually go back to the old language that was in the engrossed version of 237 that said it had to be before the effective date of the Act. I think that would be more equitable. Next. This is more of a housekeeping thing, I think. In the marginal lands area, you allow a temporary use dwelling for hardships. This is also commonly done throughout the state in exclusive farm use areas, where somebody might have somebody ill and they need to have them live next to them for a short period of time in a mobile home. Right now, the way the current state law is written, since that's a non-farm dwelling, you would have to disqualify that entire farm entire parcel for farm deferral. I don't think people are actually doing that throughout the state. And I think that the law ought to be changed so that we at least recognize the current practice and there won't be any dispute as to its legality, to clearly allow an exclusive farm use area, just like you have proposed here for the marginal land area, this hardship-type temporary use.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Representative Benjamin.
I don't follow this like he does, but I thought that there was still the mobile home allowed in conjunction with a farm dwelling for a hardship case or a parent to live in without losing the EFU classification for that farm. Did I misunderstand what you said?
No, you understood what I said, and what I'm saying is, as I read the law, and maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, in the exclusive farm use area, if you approve even a temporary dwelling and it's not in conjunction with farm use, under the law you're supposed to disqualify that lot for farm deferral, as the law exists today. And what they've done is, in the marginal land area, you have specifically allowed in this bill a provision that says a mobile home is allowed in conjunction with a dwelling for a hardship case. What I'm saying is take virtually the identical provision and put it in the EFU section of the bill as well. And that will reflect what really is current practice throughout the state.
Madam Chair.
As I understand.
Representative Parkinson.
You said you'd have to lose the special assessment for that lot. You meant that farm, didn't you?
Well,
I
think it's that parcel, but because you can't create a separate lot there without meeting partitioning requirements. So it would be for the whole farm, because you've allowed a non-farm dwelling on the farm.
But this is not happening, you said, in practicality.
In practicality, I doubt, because of a temporary mobile home, that assessors are actually disqualifying the whole farm. But I think somebody can legally make an argument that under the current law, that's what should happen. And it's certainly an unreasonable argument, an unreasonable result, I should say, but the strict letter of the law might say that. That's what I'm getting at. So let's make it so that no court does say that in the future. That's my concern there. You might want to look into that more.
Madam Chairperson.
Representative Priestley.
Would you have a specific time that would explain temporary, 6 months, a year, a maximum time?
We've found that 2 years works about the best, and then it's reviewed after 2 years to determine whether, in fact, it should be granted again.
It's hard to tell when your grandmother's going to die.
I think that will make an interesting record.
Alan, would you like to go on?
Okay, I'm almost done here.
I think we can probably skip 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes, we're going to skip 4 through 13 on that list. I wouldn't put you through that. On line 14 there, we talk about on the non-farm dwellings. Okay, they've talked about allowing a non-farm dwelling if it will not significantly impact the farming area, farming practices in the area. Okay, we believe that farming and other natural resource activities such as forestry should be considered as well if you're going to locate a non-farm dwelling. And so we provided amendments in the non-farm dwelling language to provide for that. Then I can't believe that Representative Bradbury just came in for my next point, because this is the one he was concerned about. That was on a non-farm dwelling on 2 acres. Okay, they allow a non-farm dwelling on 2 acres if it won't measurably increase the cost of farming. We're saying allow it on up to 5 acres if it won't measurably increase the cost of farming, forestry, and other natural resource activities, but change the 2 to 5. And it isn't allowed a record provision, because you have to consider its impact on the other natural resource activities in the area. But it's just as what has been mentioned previously, is very often, because of the drainage characteristics, you're probably not going to be able to get by on 2 acres for that. Secondly, you have to consider some of the practical aspects. You could have a 2 and a 5 acre parcel in an exclusive farm zone right next to each other. The 2 acre guy is going to get to build his house, and the 5 acre guy right next to him is going to be put in a situation, if he can't build a home there, where he's going to have to maybe sell it to the farm at a very low value, almost a forced sale. I don't believe that many people with the 5 acres out there are going to do that. I believe when they see that 2 acre person getting that building permit, the 5 acre is going to keep on putting pressure on the local government or the legislature in the process so that he will finally get his home and not be out all his money that he paid for his lot. So, like I said, the reasonable approach compromises to say go up to 5 acres, but consider the impact on farming, forestry, and natural resources.
This is on lot of record provisions?
No, this is in your non-farm dwelling provisions. You allow a non-farm dwelling on 2 acres if it doesn't impact farming. I'm saying go up to 5 acres, but also consider farming impacts as well as other natural resource activities.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
Madam Chair, question to the three of you. If I'm correct, I think Washington County includes all of that area that runs from Beaverton on through Aloha, out through Hillsboro, et cetera, and around.
That's correct.
The area that's been built on considerably by non-farm uses recently. Did I understand you to say you still do not have your county comprehensive plan accepted by LCDC?
That's correct. The county plan is the rural portion of the plan has been submitted for acknowledgement, was put on a continuance order, and is due back to LCDC very soon. The urban plan is scheduled for adoption within the next 10 days by the Board of County Commissioners. In accord with our compliance schedule with LCDC.
So the different non-farm uses that went in recently in the last several years on some of the Class 1 soils didn't come under the normal controls, or did they go through an exceptions process, or what?
We were required, as all jurisdictions, until a plan is acknowledged, to apply the goals directly to development actions. We also had, during that same time period, 1979, the regional urban growth boundary done by the Metropolitan Service District was also adopted. So the outer limits of the urban area have been set since 1979. The county had an urban growth boundary adopted prior to the establishment of LCDC and the goals and guidelines. So the county has had an operative urban growth boundary since at least 1973.
In other words, they had a rather generous urban growth boundary?
No, we feel that that's an urban growth boundary necessary to handle the growth of the year 2000. Washington County is a very rapidly growing county. It, despite the fact that the state lost population last year, Washington County grew by 4,500 people. Whereas the state lost 4,700 people, Lane County in particular lost 4,700 people, 16 other counties in the state lost population, Washington County grew. The growth dynamic in Washington County is very strong.
Because of the
electronics industry in particular.
Any further questions?
I think one additional point I would like to make related to a comment by Representative Hooley, chairperson for the committee, is on the marginal land in the Willamette Valley. As indicated in the bill, there's almost an alternative part test in the marginal lands. One is based on the soil classification, and the other one's based on the parcelization of the area. And I think probably predominantly in Washington County, if you were to look at marginal land, you'd almost have to exclusively look at that parcelization test, because obviously all the land is pretty productive, virtually all.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Maybe just a quick statement, but I think this has been the first county that said they liked the bill. When the bill was presented, they said several times that it was just designed almost for Washington County, so I guess that's true.
Yeah. Madam Chairman, if I could add some comments. Our concern is...
I need your name for the record.
Oh, Richard Daniels, Planning Director of Washington County. Excuse me. We seek acknowledgement of the county's comprehensive plan as soon as possible. There has been a number of new initiatives started in Washington County over the last 8 months. This is one of those, is the top priority for completion of this effort. The county has been attempting to complete its comprehensive plan since 1976. That growth dynamic has probably highlighted in Washington County that urban-rural conflict more than any other, and especially when you consider the quality of the farmlands in Washington County. The county in 73 adopted what they identified as a marginal lands provision, and that was AF 5 and 10. Acre parcels, and that was above the 350-foot elevation, which was in essence the frost line in the county. 1982, the county redid its plan and adopted it to try and achieve acknowledgement with statewide goals, and in that effort adopted a plan which put into exclusive farm and forest uses 320,000 acres, major commitments to preservation of farm and forest lands. Of that 40,000 acres, which had been designated AF 5 and 10, the county further downzoned what it had done in 1973 to an AF 20 district, which is identical in concept and slightly different in terms of operation from your marginal lands provision. And that's why we seek combining this, as Representative Parkinson has identified. When we submitted the bill, or our land use plan to LCDC, LCDC found that after 4 months of meeting specifically on the AF 20 area, that even if they wanted to, they could not approve the county's AF 20. And that was a quote from one of the commissioners, is that there finds very good attributes of the AF 20 district and how it was applied on the land, but the current law did not allow the commission to accept that. The marginal lands bill will, and that perhaps may separate us from some of the other counties which do not find the benefit of it. Of the AF 20 lands, a lot of it will be in marginal land, but some of it may, in review, have to go into exclusive farm use district, some of the larger parcels. A critical component of the revisions we're asking for in the bill is on page one of the revisions, and I'd refer you to line 17, that when the local government makes a decision that it's a piece that an area qualifies as marginal lands, it's not going to do so on a whim. It's going to do so after there's been a great deal of testimony submitted. There's going to be a great deal of information submitted, not only from those seeking the change, but also from the county staff itself operating in the public interest. Once the board, elected officials, come to that decision needs some protection. And that is that if we're going to allow subjectivity, such as the Extension Service report, and those decisions be made, then there needs to be some protection of that decision, and that it isn't all focused, all the objections focused at the statewide level, is the local decision needs some protection. I'd like to offer for the committee an observation that every county in the state has proposed something on the order of an AF 20 district. I know in particular in the western counties that Yamhill County, when I worked with them, proposed an AF 20. And had it was an essentially identical to what.
Rick, what does AF stand for?
Agriculture and forestry.
Okay.
Multnomah County had a multiple use agriculture 20, which was in essence the same types of hillside lands which had been impacted by parcelization. They're not valley floor lands. They are marginal, may be a misnomer because they are still productive farmlands. It's just that parcelization has impacted those lands, or that the crops grown on those lands are not the prime valley floor areas and need some special treatment. So whatever you do, it's important to come up with a marginal lands bill, in the opinion of us, and that be very similar to what we are trying to achieve in Washington County. Keep in mind that we're here appearing before you as a county that 3-2 voted to defeat the ballot measure and in support of the statewide land use planning program. And I think that one of the reasons why the voters took that approach in Washington County was that the county was proposing its version of a marginal lands bill, and where we might have been ahead of the state in establishment of urban growth boundaries and exclusive farm use districts, we would like to think we've done some pioneering work in the AF 20. If a passage of a marginal lands bill will allow that AF 20 district to survive in some form. So it's important for a marginal lands bill for Washington County.
Madam Chair, just in conclusion, until you have a question, Washington County, as Mr. Daniels indicated, has been a friend in all the elections we've had of LCDC. We're approved overwhelmingly of the concepts. Washington County is one of the older counties in land use planning. I was the first planning director, and we initiated zoning regulations in 1959. We're not as old as Lane County, however. We'd be having relatively strict planning with or without LCDC, and I speak for the majority of the board on this. And also, as you continue in your deliberation, Mr. Bachman and Mr. Daniels will be available, and they will be speaking for the majority of the board of Washington County.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming out. Representative Parkinson.
I detect an inconsistency, and I think maybe I know the answer. We've heard that Washington County was a pioneer in land use planning, and I think we heard a lot of testimony the other day that Washington County also has probably as much parcelization as most any other county. Would that be because of the demands for housing from the metropolitan area? Or it seems inconsistent.
Yeah, the county tripled population between 60 and 80, and that was because of the rapid growth of the metropolitan area. The majority of the growth during that period has occurred in Washington County. And with that has caused some parcelization on some of the marginal land, some of the hillside areas. But that parcelization occurred in accord with the county's comprehensive plan adopted before LCDC. That is, in 73, the Board of County Commissioners adopted an AF 5 and 10 district on the same geography we're now talking as marginal lands. And a lot of that parcelization occurred in accord with the county's comprehensive plan. So there was a lot of 5 and 10 acre parcelization which occurred on these hillside areas of the Chehalem Mountains and around the fringes of the county. But the valley floor has been protected. What was then general farm use, and later it qualified as an exclusive farm use district for the Department of Revenue, and then was later in 82 transferred to an exclusive farm use district, protected the valley floor. So the prime farmlands have been kept without parcelization. The hillside areas have been allowed to parcelize in accord with the county's comprehensive plan, which predated LCDC.
And what has happened in the past is come back to haunt us now, because some of these roads